Welcome to Oh, I Like That, a podcast about things we like and occasionally things we don't. I'm Rachel Wilkerson Miller.
And I'm Sally Tamarkin. Good Friday, Rachel.
Good Friday, Sally. How's it going?
It's going okay. I'm just going to just get right into my vibe because I don't want to waste a moment's time because we have a lot of stuff to talk about that things we like and things we don't today. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that it's cool and breezy here, but it's also very sunny. Mm-hmm. And the vibe is just weather because I'm just really appreciating the most like salient part of my day so far is the weather. Mm-hmm. And it's been a big week here for Mother Nature. We had like a big old thunder and lightning storm. We had some really high heat and humidity. And now it feels like we're just ready to relax and like welcome the weekend with some low key weather. That's not statement weather. Like I feel like what Mother Nature was doing earlier this week, at least here in Philly, was statement weather. And now we're mm-hmm. just sort of, we're wearing Mother Nature's in a plain, like a Gap tee and just some mm-hmm. nice old pair of worn out jeans, maybe some Chucks mm-hmm. and just kind of like going about her life, which I'm into.
Yeah, I would say the vibe is weather is a good way of putting it. It's also the vibe is 3-day weekend. We've got Memorial Day coming yes. up on Monday, which is great. So I'm like, okay, a nice, cool, breezy morning, but still sunny to like kick off the weekend. Although I think the weather is going to be terrible this weekend, which is a real bummer.
Oh, man.
But like I'm holding out. Stuff? Yeah, but I'm holding out hope that the weather apps are wrong and it's going to change each day to be surprisingly good. So fingers crossed.
I would love that. Okay, fingers crossed weather-wise. Mm-hmm. I want to just say I could talk about the weather for a lot longer.
Yeah.
But I think we're not going to. I think we're going to get into our topic.
I think that's probably the right move, but I agree. We could probably talk about this for way too long. But
way too long.
Yeah.
So when this episode comes out, it's going to be June, mm-hmm. which as you probably know, is Pride Month, mm-hmm. which is to say it is the month that a lot of cities have their Pride events and marches and parties and stuff like that. And it is the month that we, here in the U.S., I'm not actually sure how it, what the deal is internationally, but in the U.S., it's where we, like, in theory, remember the Stonewall riots and think about queer liberation. And in reality, we go to marches and indulge in like cool merch and stuff like that. And sometimes a combo of the two. But mm-hmm. we thought it would be kind of interesting to talk about Pride and just to kind of like talk about our just like different thoughts we're having as we go into Pride. Like all things in, I guess, the 21st century or 2021, like the discourse about Pride started in like early May, mm-hmm. which I was saying to you, Rachel, reminds me of when I worked at like different media brands and you would start getting holiday related pitches in like early August. Mm-hmm. So it feels like we're just like kind of preparing for the month really far in advance. But I guess like we have like a few different things to talk about. And I just wanted to maybe start by just talking about like our own like relationships to Pride. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Pride? Like what's your relationship to it now? And like what has it been in the past?
I feel like Pride neutral or like neutral posy, I guess. It's one of those things that every year in May, I'm like, ugh, whatever, Pride. And then like May 31st to June 1st, I'm like, this is great. I love this. Let's keep doing this. And it's like less about, you know, the campaigns from, I don't know, Barnes and Noble and like a brand that I bought something from 5 years ago that's sending me an email, and more about just like the overall vibe, the different events and programming that aren't specifically like about a parade, but more just like queer art and queer people. And I think because it comes at the beginning of summer, it's also like, just like, to me, when I think of Pride, I think of like queer summer is beginning, and that's a good feeling. So that feels exciting and positive to me. But I'm also not like, this is the most important thing in the world, and like, this is, I will defend it at all costs. I'm just like, I enjoy this. Like, before 2019, my relationship to Pride was just like, oh, it's Pride. Pride's happening. Like, not it. You know, like, I didn't think much of it beyond that unless it came up in, like, something we were working on editorially. And it was like, oh, yeah, we should, like, think about that. But it wasn't – I think at BuzzFeed, like, it was similarly, like, with so many queer people there, stuff was going on and we like did stuff for it. But at the same time, it was like, we do this year round. We don't necessarily need to go too hard right now. So that's kind of where I stand on it. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, as I was listening to you just now, I realized that like when we talk about pride, we're talking about like so many different things. Cause I think it's like, you know, there's like, you know, especially in New York, there's a huge parade that's sort of like historically like important in many ways. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like, you know, like museums and libraries do cool things to like highlight queer people from history and queer liberation, stuff like that. And like, then there's also corporations that release like rainbow colored merchandise and so on.
Right.
And like, or like a credit card with like love, hashtag love wins on it for some reason.
Yep.
So I think we're talking about like a whole bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. And I think like, it's important to remember that, because I was actually just going to go into like a whole thing about being sort of critical of pride. But like, I want to say up front that like, you know, pride encompasses a lot of things, and I get that. And so like, having said that, I've been to New York. I've been to New York City Pride one time. It was like in the early 2000s, and it was like really, so it always happens in June, obviously. It's really crowded.
Yeah.
It was really hot. It was really crowded. It was really loud, and everyone was partying. And those are all things that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like if there were even one of those things, I would be like, I'm not going to stay that long. But when you take all of them, it's not for me. Mm-mm. So I feel like it's like a little bit unfair of me to be like, man, Pride's the worst, because it's like, no one should ask me what my opinion is of things that like don't appeal to me.
Right.
Like I shouldn't be like critiquing, like, I don't even know, like French documentaries or like football games. Cause like, I don't know anything about those things. Right. So, and they're not for me anyway.
Right.
So maybe that it's kind of the same with Pride, but like, you know, the Pride as a party thing, I don't, oh, and I've been to smaller prides. Like I've been to like, there's like a cute pride in like Northampton, Massachusetts. That's really cute. And I've been to the ones in like Hartford and stuff like that. And they're just like, they don't like, it's cool to be in a sea of queer people, but like, I have to say that like, I don't feel that being there feels like being home, or it doesn't represent my relationship to queerness, really. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, rainbows and beads and stuff like that is just like, I, not that I have like a judgment of it, but it's just not really my jam. Mm-hmm. So I feel a little bit like this, it kind of reminds me of when in high school, everyone was really into Ani DiFranco. High school and college. And I just like really didn't like her music. And it felt like there was something, like I had a friend that would call me the anti-dyke because I didn't like, and not because I had like some sort of a like stand against things that were like traditionally queer. It's just that there were things in like the early 2000s about being queer that didn't resonate with me, like Ani DiFranco and like the Indigo Girls, like folky stuff. And I guess I'm talking about like white queerness right now. And I feel like that, not that like that is all that Pride is, but it feels like big Pride events feel like they capture that sort of like mainstream love wins vibe in a way that just like doesn't, I'm not into. And I realize I'm collapsing like a lot of different things into that observation, but I guess it's because I'm still kind of like trying to understand it and pick it apart for myself. But I guess that's sort of my half-baked take on like why I've never really been that into Pride. And the other thing is like, I mean, I think Pride is like great for people who get something out of it. Like I think there are a lot of people who feel a connection to it and feel like they really need it. And it's like, it can be a safe place and it can be one of the few places that people can feel like they can be out and all that stuff. And so I in no way is my position like ban Pride. Pride is bad. I just have never really felt particularly connected to it. And I kind of wish I did, because it seems like it would be cool to have that. But yeah, I guess that's kind of my take. And I think like we can talk about some of the other things that, you know, that we have planned to talk about. Maybe we can move into them now, because they kind of are connected to like my skepticism about Pride.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so I think one of the big things that there's a lot of criticism around, like, correctly so, is the corporate aspect of Pride. And, you know, like, sort of, there's a lot of angles to this. I think that in something like a parade, there's obviously financial incentive to include bigger companies that can pay for expensive floats, that, like, that allows smaller ones to join. And I don't know all the ins and outs of that. So, like, corporations in, like, a New York City Pride parade is sort of a separate issue from what we're going to talk about, which is just, like, corporate merch and, you know, every company dropping their Pride line. I'm getting so many pitches. I think a representative example is the toothbrush that I got a pitch for the other day. Yeah. It's a Pride toothbrush that is not cute to my mind. I think it's actually what I would call it hideous, but maybe others would disagree. It's like a rainbow gradient, but not a cute one. And they've renamed the speeds of the toothbrush. So instead of, like, the original name, like, one of the original names is, like, I think it's, like, the cleaning is the speed. It's, like, the medium speed. And they've renamed it work, W-E-R-K. And then they've renamed the speed that is whitening, which, like, I don't even think this is, like, a real thing of how toothbrushes work. But, like, the whitening speed has been renamed Yas. And I'm just like, what is going on here? And to their credit, they're donating to LGBTQ charities. Every pitch that I've gotten so far, that's been included. So I'm like, okay, you get that. Like, thank God there's that. But also, like, what if you just donated and, like, the money and time and energy you spent making this thing that's inevitably going to end up in a landfill, you just put that money into, you know, the people who need it. And my feeling is, like, you don't need to make a toothbrush. You need to have queer people in your ad campaigns. You need to hire queer people and treat them well and provide them with good benefits. And you need to, like, give money to charities or nonprofits. And, like, that's the extent of it. Like, we don't need a shitty toothbrush. I don't think, but maybe there are some people who are seeing that, or the Listerine or whatever the case may be, and are feeling really good about it.
Yeah. This to me is, like, the curse of increased representation, is that you have to deal with, like, terrible pandering. Mm-hmm. And it's like, on the one hand, is it cool that, like, now it's okay enough in lots of pockets of culture to identify as gay or lesbian, that we can get merch that's like rainbow colored? Or would it be better for that to not exist? Because it's like, because I don't think our choice is, instead of the rainbow toothbrush, can we just have you hire queer people, treat them well, give them good benefits, donate money to queer? I don't think those are the two things we're choosing.
No, we're not.
You know? So, like, it's like, is it good that we have these products? And I personally feel such intense, like, rage when I see that kind of stuff. And when I see, like, various companies making their logos rainbow, alcoholic, like, various, like, liquors releasing, like, weird, not just, like, rainbow products, but, like, weird ad campaigns. Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know, corporations that are harmful and exploitative.
Right.
You know, like, co-opting some aspect of queer culture to sell us things. Mm-hmm. And also, I have to say, like, the appropriation of, like, Black queer, like, language and experience of, like, using things like yas and stuff, mm-hmm. like, all that shit becoming mainstream is one thing, but that stuff being used to sell products, that's, like, you know, this is what I think really feeds into my skepticism around Pride. And it's interesting because, like, you know, this can be said for, like, almost anything in American culture. Like, you know, Christmas can also be ruined by corporations mm-hmm. and cheesy decorations and people and like corporations trying to get you to, like, put yourself into debt to, like, give each other presents, but it doesn't, like, ruin Christmas for me. So it's not an apples to apples thing in any way, but I guess I'm just, like, sort of observing that for me, that stuff does have, like, an outsized kind of impact on the extent mm-hmm. to which I can, like, really enjoy Pride.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think we, like, don't really have a clear understanding of, like, the bell curve of, like, sort of representation and corporate support, because obviously it doesn't mean nothing. And it's like, these things do matter to some extent. Like, the more that corporations do this, there is an opportunity to say, hey, how are you treating your employees? And there's an opportunity for employees to say, hey, you're doing this outwardly. What? How do you treat us behind the scenes? So there is some of that. And I think that in the past, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, maybe 5 years, companies have gotten savvier about like, yeah, we do need to donate. We do need to make sure our benefits are up to snuff, like all those kinds of things. So I don't think it's nothing, but I think it probably peaks fairly quickly. And it's really hard to measure. I also think like accessibility comes into play here to some degree. Like when we were talking about things being available at a Target or a Walmart or something like that. Yeah, for people who, you know, don't have a ton of access to be able to, you know, buy something from like an indie queer owned business in Brooklyn, like I'm not it, like I want them to be able to get a t-shirt that they can wear, and maybe they're going to be the only one in their class or wherever they are in their office or wherever wearing that pin or that t-shirt or whatever. So I think that there's also that aspect of it. And I think this is like the constant choice we have to make in American culture and living with capitalism is just like, we can't escape the fact that like sometimes these things serve a need. And it sucks because like those are sometimes the choices we have. It's like buying the Pride t-shirt from Walmart or not feeling represented and seen at all. And it's a bummer that those are the options. And I don't know what to do about that. But I think that like that's also kind of I feel like that's sometimes missing from the discourse. It's just like sometimes this stuff is helpful or necessary or does make people feel affirmed. And I don't want to take that away from them.
Yeah, totally. I think that like it's almost never about like an individual person getting a piece of apparel. It's about like the choices that were given by corporations, yeah, because so much of our lives here are ruled by like what we consume. And mm-hmm. just the fact that like we are in a place where like getting apparel with a rainbow on it from a corporation is like the most liberatory option a lot of yeah. us have is just like, that's not a statement on individuals who want to wear certain apparel. That's a statement on like our really depressing, like racial capitalist system, you know? And yeah. I want better for all of us.
I do too, which I think is a great transition into just like the actual merchandise that these companies are putting out and how often I was having this thought this morning as I was thinking about this episode of just like, I don't really know any gay people who want to like wear all the colors of the rainbow at once in the way that they're typically designed. Like so much of this stuff is just not very cute or wearable. Like, yeah, technically does the job, but like who is this for exactly? And it just feels so corny in many instances. And it feels like it's not really designed for us exactly or by us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were a couple of awesome tweets that I'm going to link to in the show notes that are kind of like send ups of how corporations like think about Pride apparel, which I feel like every time someone tries to like describe a meme or a good tweet, like just like a little piece of our like happiness as human beings like floats away from us. So I'm not going to describe them, but I will link to them. Mm-hmm. But like one of the things that I can't help but notice in like the Target Pride line is like unbelievably vast. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they have is like a fully all over rainbow like jacket and matching shorts or something. I can't remember exactly mm-hmm. what it is, but it's essentially like wall to wall rainbow. And the thing about it is that it looks like a costume to me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the vibe of a lot of the stuff that like is out there is that it feels like a costume. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wearing costumes. There's nothing wrong with like celebrating in like playful ways. But it does feel – it does raise the question like who is this for? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't really have a for us, by us kind of a vibe, I guess I would say.
No.
So another Pride-related thing that I think is worth talking about that is like I think queer people have been talking about for quite some time but is now more kind of being considered by the mainstream is about the presence of cops at Pride parades. So the organizers of New York City's Pride events announced that they're banning police and other law enforcement from marching in their parade until at least 2025. And off duty and on duty cops will have to stay a block away from the celebration. And so what they're doing is like increasing community-based security, and which I don't know what that means, and first responders. And, you know, the idea is that like police, they've terrorized queer communities and communities of color pretty severely, pretty bad history there. And mm-hmm. so a great many queer people do not feel safe with cops around, and also do not feel that like cops should be allowed to celebrate pride when their relationship to like queer communities and like just to like liberation and marginalized people in general is, to say it's like a fraught relationship is like the most passive voice understatement in the entire world, but you catch my mm-hmm. meaning. And so this has been like, this is great. I love this. I love this for us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some people are real mad, including, for example, like the New York Times editorial board who wrote an op-ed about it and cops.
Yeah. I mean, this is long overdue. And there, you know, a lot of people have kind of made the observation of like, yeah, you can't have pride without cops, as like, yeah, like, okay, we know what happened both at Stonewall and also last year. Like, we watched cops right. beating the shit out of people last summer. Like, this isn't, oh, this was years ago, why don't you just get over it? Like, this is recent history. We don't want you here. And like, I'm sorry, I don't want to see like a New York PD police cruiser in a rainbow wrap and be expected to cheer for it. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, thank you. I'm like, you know, I know that there are, I understand that there are gay cops, just like there are black cops. Quite frankly, I don't care. Like, take this as an opportunity to reflect on the job you've chosen and your life choices, and if there's a better way to help people, if that's what you really care about. But like, I don't know, man, like cop is not an identity that you were you can link to this in the show notes. There's a great Defector piece that's basically written like from the perspective of a cop that's like, you know, I was born this way. I was born a cop. And, you know, when I grew up, I didn't know other kids were like me who secretly carried a bully stick with them at all times and wanted to beat people with it. Like, it's very expertly done. But just like, you're a cop is a job. Like, you're not a protected class. You're not entitled to representation in this thing when you are like actively perpetuating harm to this day right now on queer people and people of color and queer people of color. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even believe this is, I can believe it, but I was so disgusted by that New York Times op-ed. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, I was disgusted by it as well. And it's really interesting because the moment that we're in, I feel like, is this interesting one where like things are happening and being talked about in like mainstream places that I haven't been as much until now. Like, for example, like cops are banned from Pride or marching in the Pride parade. People are talking about like Palestine in a different way, not to veer into a different topic, but like major news networks are like actually airing Palestinian people in Gaza talking about the situation there. You know, the Black Lives Matter movement around and like abolishing the police, like, I feel like we're in this moment. I guess every moment feels like we're in a moment, but mm-hmm. like it just feels increasingly like, you know, conversations about kind of liberation are coming up to the mainstream more, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But then I think the result is that we have to then deal with not just how like the people on the right react to that, but people, you know, in the center and people who think of themselves as left of center who are, you know, incredibly horny for like complacency and assimilationism and, mm-hmm. you know, not challenging things too much and, you know, being polite and staying in our places and stuff like that. And it's definitely like the double-edged sword of like when people who represent like the status quo and the owning class, whether that's like owning like the economy or the means of production or mm-hmm. who like own, I guess, the ability to like show up and be safe anywhere they want, when they feel that that ownership is threatened, you know, they want to undermine you and they want to undermine liberatory movements and stuff like that. And so that's kind of like the double-edged sword, or I don't know if it's a double-edged sword, but whatever, that's happening at the same time that all of this like really exciting progressive movement building is happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And actually, speaking of like assimilationist nonsense, Rachel, what's like the next thing on our Pride to talk about list?
Next up is kink at Pride, which is another one of these like ongoing debates, but that has sort of popped off this year early. And that is just basically like, should kink, visible kink, dressing in a way that, you know, represents kink, be allowed at Pride, which flooded into the Twitter discourse last week because of some really bad faith takes that went viral that sort of centered on the idea of like, children shouldn't have to see this. And, you know, like Pride should be a queer friendly event that's like very chill and sex is never mentioned ever. And like, I mean, again, bad faith takes, sort of so ridiculous. And we went back and forth about even talking about this on this episode because it feels so ridiculous. Like I'm sort of just like, this isn't a real thing that like, surely there's not that many people who actually believe this and want this. This feels like trolling to a large degree, but we did want to talk about it briefly just to say that we think this is ridiculous and like, come on now, these are bad faith takes, but like, we'll still just quickly kind of like debunk them in case anyone is wondering.
Yeah.
We support kink at Pride.
Yeah. And I think the thing that is like, you know, even though they come from a place of like of quasi trolling the discourse, I do think that they're connected to like a deeper like fear and insecurity around people who are like deviant being allowed to like be deviant in public. And I think it's a very slippery slope to like, I don't want my kids to see people like wearing like a collar and a leash. I don't mean to be reductive around what kink encompasses, but that truly is what people
that's
are
what
saying.
This is a, yeah.
Yeah. They don't want to see it at Pride. Here. It's a slippery slope to be like, that's deviant, that's not okay, to being like queerness and transness and gender nonconformity are deviant behaviors. Like it comes from a place of like, and this is like the other reason why cops shouldn't be at Pride. It comes from a place of being policed, like having our sexuality policed, having our genders policed and our gender expressions policed. And it's like, this is one of those moments where you want people who I think there are queer people who do hold this position, but the conversation that was happening was a bunch of people who aren't queer but consider themselves allies having this conversation. And it's a moment where I just want allies to just be quiet and just like not register an opinion, because it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter what you think, and your comfort is like not what Pride is about. So, you know, I think the thing that's killing me is this like, but my children argument, which is like very rarely, like I think if you've devolved into like, but my children, I think you're probably in like, that's a like a yellow light. You got to like yield a bit and make sure that you are really on the right side of history here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I went to a Pride parade when I was like 3 or 4 years old. I only realized it was a Pride parade years later. I like remembered it as like, I got to go to a parade, or I got to be in a parade when I was little. And then like years later, I was like, I think there were like, I have a memory of like men in like leather and chaps. And like years later, I was like, was that a gay Pride parade? And like, it was, but like for years, I just thought it was a parade because like I was a child and didn't think anything of it. Like I didn't ascribe any meaning to men wearing leather chaps. Like that meant nothing to me. But the thing is, like, if you decide to take your kid to a Pride parade, fine. Or like a Pride event, fine, whatever. Like do that knowing that you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. And like the point is to introduce your kids to all different kinds of people. But also like if there's one thing that children understand, it's costumes. Mm. So like if you're worried about like, oh, what am I going to tell my kid if they see people doing puppy play with dog masks on, I'm like, you can tell your kid that they're dressed up like puppies. Mm-hmm. You don't need to tell them anything more than that. They're just going to be like, okay, and they're going to move on. Mm-hmm. Like it's not that deep. And so this is such a like pearl clutching moral outrage that I just find so ridiculous. And the excuse of like, but the children is the least compelling argument like that I've ever heard. I just don't buy it.
I agree. And I think like you were alluding to like but the children is an argument that is always used to basically tell anyone who isn't like straight and cis and gender conforming and white that what they're doing isn't okay. And it may start out as like, I don't want to see kink at Pride. And then you have plausible deniability because you can be like, no, it's not. I have no problem with like queer people. It's just that like, it's really hard to explain kink to a kid and like that, but it's never that. Like it's always about something else, or it's going to be used to lead to something else. And I do think that we have to be really vigilant about our genders and sexualities being like policed and regulated, particularly at fucking Pride.
Right. Like I mean, okay, if you want to bring your kid to Pride, there's a few reasons why that might be. My girlfriend and I were talking about this last night, and she was saying, like, one is that you are queer and you want your kid to see Pride because, like, that's a part of your identity and you want to introduce them to that. Fine. The second is that your kid is queer. Either you know it or you suspect it. And so you want them to, like, have the opportunity to know that you're okay with this, that you support this, to see other people like them. The third is that you don't know if your kid is queer or not, but you want to raise them with good values. You want them to have access to different types of people and be aware that queer people exist. Fine. You know, the third one is great, but if you are straight and you want your kid to have these values, like, first of all, then trying to police how queer people act is, like, not the way to go about it. But second of all, there's other ways to do that. Like, Pride was never for children. There are certainly, like, family-friendly events. There are things that are for kids, like drag queen reading hour at the library that you can take your kids to that don't necessarily – like, if you're uncomfortable taking your kid to Pride, unpack that. But also, like, don't make it our problem. It's not that deep. Like, you don't have to go. This isn't for you. And so the idea that people – are trying to police something that is, like, not for them or for their kids is just, like, so ridiculous. And again, I'm like, surely this is, like, a small percentage of people because it's so ridiculous. But then again, like, allies have been known to do ridiculous things. So who's to say? But I think, like, you can just leave your kid at home, like,
right,
or not go to Pride at all. And, like, that's an okay thing to have happen.
I think also, like, it's important to note that if you're hearing this and you agree and you're like, yeah, that's why would anyone, like, police can't get Pride? That's ridiculous. But this conversation can be framed in a different way that makes it sound less dangerous than, like, you and I are, like, saying it is. So, like, you know, I could hear, like, one of these people who's against kink at Pride being like, you know, we just want it to be a safe space for everyone. We want families to feel welcome because, like, mm-hmm. love wins or whatever the thing is. And I think people hear that and they're like, oh yeah, that does make sense. Pride should be a safe space, you know? And so I think it's, like, it's important to know that sometimes when you hear these arguments and these, like, justifications for why people want to make certain changes or whatever, you realize that they're, you think about the way that they're being, like, framed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the safe space argument is another one that I've seen a bunch. And that's this idea of, like, you know, I have, like, past trauma or something that makes me have a negative relationship with sex, and that this can be really triggering. And, you know, there have been a lot of really articulate explanations of why that doesn't really apply here, and sort of the ways in which we have to, like, measure our own past trauma and, like, balance that with the rights of other people to exist in public. But the one thing that keeps coming to mind for me is just, like, clothing isn't sex. Like, anything can be triggering, and, like, that's sort of separate. But, like, this idea that, like, wearing a collar means you're getting off in public, like, those aren't the same thing. It's just clothing. And I'm sort of shocked by how much people are deploying this argument, because I'm just like, we talk about this in the context of, like, dress codes and modesty and all these things where we can be like, a girl wearing an outfit isn't the same as, like, a girl having sex or wanting to have sex or trying to attract you. Like, we know this. So then to turn around and say, like, well, if you wear a leather harness in public, like, that's sex. And I, like, mm-hmm. I don't consent to it. Like, no, you don't get to consent to what other people are wearing. Like, you're not involved in that. Right. There's no consent involved in that. That's not the same as, like, a sex act. It's also not the same as, like, somebody publicly masturbating, which is, like, a sex act in public that you didn't consent to. Mm-hmm. Like, just wearing the clothes is not sex, and you don't have to, like, you don't really have a right to consent to that or not. Like, it doesn't involve you.
Exactly. That's really well put. And it is also, you know, totally connected to, you know, queer people's sexuality being seen as, like, dangerous and deviant and disgusting. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, you know, conflating something people are wearing with sex because the person wearing it is queer, is a really dangerous thing that goes back to, like, decency laws and why we have Pride in the first place.
Exactly. And there's also kind of, like, a turfy underlying argument here, which is just, you know, a lot of the stuff around kink is being discussed in the context of people who have penises. And there's this idea that, like, and, like, penises are violent, they're aggressive, they harm women, and we must protect women at all costs. And, you know, and the argument here is cis women is what is, you know, mm-hmm. what these people who are arguing this intend with that. And this idea that, like, seeing a bulge in public is violent and you have a right to not see a cis man in a G-string Like, that just isn't, you know, I think be very wary of that sort of argument, because it's coming from people who are operating in really bad faith and who are like actively perpetuating harm against trans people every day. Like, we really can't be taking talking points from people with that perspective.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, and it, they try to sneak it in different ways, but that's completely where it comes from. And it's gross. And we have to, like you said, not take talking points from it and also shut it down like anywhere it shows up.
Yeah. Sometimes we got to talk about things we don't like. And that is, this is one of those times.
Yeah.
All right. So let's transition to the last big topic, which is allies.
Yeah. This segment can be called the A in LGBTQIA does not stand for ally.
Sally, do you want to talk about like just a top level backstory of like how we got here?
Okay. So I'm in some Facebook groups for a hobby in which I partake. We had a little back and forth about how you talk about, do you say you do a hobby, you partake in a hobby? I'm going to go with partake.
Yep.
And there was like a schism around what spaces, what queer spaces allies are allowed to be in and what spaces they're allowed to like participate, not just like exist in, but also like talk in and participate in and show up in. And it was not a good way to kick off Pride month or Pride season, because I basically encountered someone who has a business that their logo is rainbow. They sell a lot of rainbow and Pride merch, and they identify as an ally. And they said that they thought the A in LGBTQIA was for ally. They got like a pretty like extensive education thanks to a bunch of queer and trans people in this Facebook group who, and one of the things, I didn't tell you this, Rachel, but one of the things this guy said as people were sort of like, and by the way, people were definitely calling him in as opposed to calling him out. Like it was a very gentle, like, you might want to rethink this. He was like, okay, I'm listening. Help me be a better ally. Which is kind of illustrative of the problem. Like it's sort of like, oh, okay, I'm fucking up. I'm making you feel, I'm harming you. Help me be better at not harming you. And that has kicked off like a full week of like conversations between, you know, you and me and your girlfriend, and then other conversations I've been having too about like the way allies, quote unquote, show up in queer spaces. And like, there's no better time to confront that that complicated issue than during Pride season.
The A isn't for ally, just so we can be clear.
Right.
Like that's, the A is for asexual, not ally.
Yeah. I mean, let's be clear, it's about that.
Not for ally. So.
And I think that like we were also, you and I were both like similarly aghast that people would assume the A was for ally. And I guess that like, I guess that it sort of depends on like what your queer community is like, because I do think that there are queer like communities who maybe do feel that way, but I don't think it's the default. And I would just, I think it's not like you shouldn't assume that if you're an ally, you are a part of the community.
Right. I think that it's, there are plenty of spaces that say ally is welcome, but I think that like, everyone should assume that the A stands for asexual. And so if just the acronym is given, that is not about allies. And if people don't say allies welcome, like assume they're not, because people will usually say if that's clear. And also like, this isn't the law. Like people can go wherever they want. They do go wherever they want. Like no one's saying like it's against the law for an ally to join a Facebook group that says, you know, that has an A in it. Like it, that, You can do whatever you want. Like this is about what like you should do and what is the right thing to do, not about what's like legal or not. Because I think some people kind of default to like, you can't tell me what to do. And like, who are you to say whatever? And like, this isn't about that. This is about like etiquette and being thoughtful and being kind and not taking up space. And I think like, so for me, like we've been talking about this, Ally, one of the questions is like, as an ally, why do you want to be in this group, or whether it's a Facebook group or a Slack room? Like, what are you trying to get out of this? And I genuinely don't have the answer, because before I was out or identifying as queer, like I was just like, oh, cool, a room for people who are not me, and like just didn't think anything of it. Like I never was like, oh man, I just wonder what they're talking about in there. I'm so desperate to know. And like, why am I not allowed to be in there? I was just like, okay, like I don't know, there's plenty of things in this world that are not for me and I don't think about them that much. And so the entitlement of like desiring to be in there, I'm just like, what's going on with you that you want to be in there so badly and you're mad that you're not? Because like, it's not like we're having some secret conversations that like, you know, that you're being left out. It's like often very like silly, nerdy, lighthearted kinds of stuff that you wouldn't be interested in anyway because it doesn't apply to you. Or it's like more serious stuff about like family and trauma and difficulties. And like, you don't have anything to contribute to that because you haven't experienced it. So like, what are you trying to do mm-hmm. by being in these groups is my question. Right. Like, what do you, it feels less about like you wanting to get something out of these groups and more about like you wanting to pat yourself on the back for being welcome in these groups is how it often feels to me.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Like I have the same question about like, why do you want to be in this space? Especially when like, if you consider yourself an ally, which by the way, I don't think anyone should ever self-describe as an ally. I feel like that's a thing that people can ascribe to you. Mm-hmm. But when someone says like, I'm an ally, I'm so suspicious of that because it's mm-hmm. like, how did you come by that term mm-hmm. and why?
Right.
But you know, it would be really cool as an ally for you to start your own group of allies to talk about how you can bring about like queer liberation and how you can be like in solidarity with queer people. Like, because I personally like in groups, whether it's about like, whether it's around like processing and venting, whether it's a group for like a hobby or it's a group for like political movement building or whatever, like there are some places where you shouldn't ever have to hear the voice of the other people who are not marginalized in the same way you are. Mm-hmm. And like having, I mean, I personally, after this whole like schism on Facebook, I started a new group that just allies just aren't allowed in. And of course, like I can't, you know, I guess people could like lie and get into it. I don't know why they would, but like,
I'm sorry, but like if you're lying about being queer, like I'm just like, well, then you're queer. I don't know what else to
right.
say. Like,
exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can't tell you whether you are. Like, if you tell me you are, I'm just going to assume you are. But also, if you feel the need to your mind, lie about that, then I'm just like, I unpack that. Like, that's a really strange choice to make.
Yeah. And this reminds me also of like working at a company where there was like merch for Pride, rainbow merch. And like, it was like, all right, our merch is ready. Like, come get in line and we'll pass it out. And like people who didn't identify as queer or trans getting in line to get their rainbow t-shirts first. And, you know, this isn't about like, I can never know what's in people's hearts. Like maybe there were people sure. who like weren't out or whatever, but like, you know, these were people who identified not as queer right. snagging the merch. And it's kind of the same thing with like seeing people in these groups on Facebook talk about how they're allies and then also kind of brag about the way in which they're allies because they want like cookies. And, mm-hmm. you know, that might make some queer people feel good and loved and affirmed, but it doesn't make all of us feel good and loved and affirmed. It makes some of us feel like our space is being like invaded and it's, and I also don't like having to do like, you know, the stuff I was seeing in these Facebook groups was like queer people spending a lot of time and energy to explain to this one dude who has like the rainbow logo and stuff in depth why it like wasn't cool to do what he was doing. And it's like, I don't think it's fair to like have a bunch of people from the marginalized community like educate you, particularly when you could do a lot of that education for yourself.
Yeah. And you could also ask this question in just like a general group, because there will be queer people in that group. There will be other allies in that group. There will be people there with like a developed understanding and analysis who can chime in and help you. Like, you don't need to go to the queer specific space to get your question answered. And like, just stop and think about it for a second. Like, do I need to go there for this? Or is this something that can be like, I understand people like, so I saw this come up and not really come up, but like, I noticed that a few years ago when I was working on my book, there were like journaling groups for all different types of people. It would be like nurses or whoever. And I noticed there was a queer and trans group and I was like, cool, that's nice. And like, didn't think much of it beyond that. Like, because the thing was, if you had a question that was like, you know, my nephew just came out and I think he could really benefit from a journal. Does anyone have recommendations for cool spreads? Like, you could just ask that in the main group.
Right.
And there would be people who would join in and people would like go in the other group and cross post and other people would probably come back and like chime in. But like, you don't have to go to the specific space to ask that question. If that's what you're seeking is like help and understanding, like there's other ways to get that without going into a space that's not really meant for you. Like this is supposed to be a safe space for us to just like be ourselves and not have to explain ourselves and get to exist, not be doing the job of education. There's plenty of queer people also who are fine to do that education and don't mind whether that's in a group just for queer and trans people or not. But like, just, I think it's good to assume that the default is that people don't really want to educate you, particularly people who don't know you. It's very different if you've got a close relationship with somebody right. and you can ask your friend, what do you think about this? Is this cool? But like, that's really rooted in a relationship that is pre-existing and that like has other facets of it. That's not just you having, you know, I take all my gay questions to you.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that like, I think it's important that like any group of people that wants to be like in solidarity with a group that is marginalized in a way that they're not, I think that those people need to have their own spaces. And like, if you're an ally to queer people or you want to be like, you need to have your own little consciousness raising group, your political education group, mm-hmm. you need to get together with people who are like you and figure out what you can do to help queer liberation. And that does not mean mm-hmm. like every community has to always be separate forever. I just mean that like, it's not always about being like, I'm an ally. So I go into every space to show mm-hmm. that I'm an ally. It's like, go into some spaces, like talk to your people. That's the other thing is like allies showing up in this really extra way. It's like, why don't you just go to your own space and show up however you want and like work right. your shit out? Like, you know, so, and I think that goes for like, you know, white people who care about racism and anti-blackness. I think that goes mm-hmm. for cis people and straight people who care about queer issues and trans issues. It's like, you know, you don't need to organize us. Like you need to organize right. people. Right. Our problem isn't like other queer people. It's like being oppressed by like, you know, heteronormativity and cis normativity. So don't mm-hmm. like your allyship can go much further in other spaces.
Right. Like don't come to us and ask us how to talk to like your shitty husband about this stuff. Like, I don't know, talk to other people with shitty husbands.
Right.
Like, you know, talk to your shitty husband yourself. You can figure it out. Like, mm-hmm. don't ask us how to do it. It's frustrating the amount of work that people are willing to ask marginalized people to do under the guise of allyship and this sort of guilt tripping and getting really defensive if queer people say, we don't want to do that. Like, I don't know. If that's what happens, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth and leave. Like, that's... Yeah. Don't get into an argument about it. Don't defend your right to be in this space. It's just like now you're just making a mess of things. You're making it so much worse.
Yeah. Like learn something and keep it moving.
I also just think that ultimately being an ally is a show don't tell moment. Mm-hmm. Like the people who I think of as allies are not the ones who are like going out of their way to proclaim it. It's the ones who are just like doing this in small ways all the time, who are like inclusive, who are thoughtful, who, you know, don't say, I don't know, like transphobic or homophobic things, who don't defend the rights of cops, like just the people who are like in everyday life showing their allyship. And like, yeah, sometimes it can be about being more vocal and sometimes we need you to be more vocal, but like that alone isn't going to cut it. And we pay attention to this stuff. We notice this, we notice the absence of it. And you know, if you're seeking that cookie, that's the wrong way to go about it. Like, don't do this for props or for other people to notice it. Just do it because you believe it needs to be done.
Yeah. And do it because like you've done the work. You've asked yourself, what does it look like to be a good ally? How can I make change in a way that would benefit people who are marginalized? And do that thing. Like, don't just call yourself an ally because like you don't discriminate against queer people or like you're right. cool with people being queer. Like that's we're past that. That's like yeah, very like bare minimum. So I don't think this just goes for like straight allies or cis allies. Mm-hmm. I think this goes for like anyone who considers themselves part of the solution versus part of the problem. It's like, what would it look like for you to be an accomplice to another community's liberation? Those are the things you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
that's it. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of it.
Well, we've got a lot of doc left that we're not going to get to today, unfortunately. So I think we're going to do a second Pride episode that is about queer art and queer joy. And I was going to say more fun, but honestly, I had fun doing this.
Like, I did too.
I think this was great. So the next one will be about the queer art that we're consuming and the ways that we are just, you know, celebrating Pride all the time year round. So look forward to that. And the A is not for ally.
And actually, speaking of like queer things that bring us joy, if you are a listener who identifies as LGBTQIA, please email us at ohilikethatpod@gmail.com and tell us like your favorite things, whether it's like a piece of art or a movie or a book, a poem, whatever, like your favorite queer stuff. And we'll read some of those on the air.
Poems, very gay. Send us your poems. Also like playlists, brands, like queer owned brands that you love to shop from, anything. Like, we'd love to put together some listener recs to share in this next episode, and also to watch and take part in all the things that you are suggesting.
Hell yeah. On that note, I think it's time for a nice thing to end on. Mm-hmm. Rachel, what is your nice thing to end on?
Okay, my nice thing to end on is I got a mask chain because I have started taking my mask off sometimes when I'm outside. So big moment. And like sometimes I like wear it through my building to take Chuck outside, and then I get outside and I take it off for one reason or another. And I was like, okay, I think it's time to get a mask chain. So my coworker Katie Way recommended one from Etsy, and like everyone on my team bought one immediately, and it came, and it's been great. I love it. So it's like $8 and it's very cute. So we've entered a new phase where mask chains make sense, and I'm excited about that.
I love that. I need one so bad. I was walking around yesterday in Center City here in Philly, and it was like there were long stretches where there was like no one around, and it was like really hot, but it was a KN95 mask. And so wearing it under your chin just doesn't really work. And
right.
But then carrying it was kind of annoying. So I was just like wearing it, and I was like, I need a mask chain, but I it's like you have to figure out which one to get. So anyway, the point is, thank you, because I'm definitely going to get myself one.
Nice.
And match you and your coworkers.
All right, Sally, what's your nice thing to end on?
My nice thing to end on is this app called Picture This, which is essentially Shazam for plants and flowers.
Ooh.
Which to me is kind of like we're in the 22nd century, if this kind of a thing is possible. Mm-hmm. I do think that you have to pay for it, although I think there's probably some features you can get in the free version. But basically what you do is you just like aim your phone's camera at a plant or a flower, and you take a picture, and it tells you what it is. And then it'll also give you a bunch of information about it and like care tips and stuff like that. And it's never failed me.
Nice.
It works amazingly. I sort of thought it was going to be one of those things that like seems really cool, but actually doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it's really fun, especially in the spring, to just walk around the neighborhood and like be like, oh, what's that? And, you know, Shazam like a cool plant or flower and like learn about it and learn about what it's called, because plants, like their common names, and flowers have like funny, weird, goofy names. And it's just kind of like, it's just like a fun thing to have. So yeah, it's called Picture This, which I don't think is like a good name for this app.
No, I thought this was going to be like a picture editing app. I'm really surprised by what it is, actually.
I think it should just be called like Plant Shazam or something.
Yeah, plant ID. Zam, yeah. I'm excited about this because I've long wanted this, and I have always been like, none of these will work. This can't possibly work. So I'm excited to hear that there's actually one that does work. I have a book that's like Trees of New York City that is like, you know, sort of pocket size. You can take it around with you and then identify the trees around you, which Sally, I don't know if you'll agree with this. I feel like identifying plants and flowers is gay, like canonically, spiritually,
canonically.
Like that's a gay thing to do. And so I think this is a great, nice thing to end on for our gay episode.
For our Pride app.
Yeah.
Look, if you're identifying flowers, like you're instantly an ally, and I take back everything I said. You're actually instantly queer.
Yeah. You should, the question to like join the group should just be like, have you ever identified a plant or flower in the wild just because you simply wanted to know? Like that's the purity test we're looking for here.
Yeah. And then you can march with us. Okay, great. Well, thank you for listening, everyone, to this episode of Oh, I Like That. Please rate us and review us on iTunes if you haven't done so already.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Oh, I Like That Pod. Email us at ohilikethatpod@gmail.com. And you can follow the two of us. I'm @_REWM, and Sally is @SallyT.
I Like That is produced by Rachel and Sally and edited by Lucas. Amber Seeger, who is Rocket Orca on social media, designed our logo.